Edge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the podcast, Chris Graham. We're going to talk some wrestling today. Not a lot of other sports news that I want to get into anyway. So we'll talk some wrestling, and there's a lot in wrestling I want to get into. First, the column that I wrote earlier today, kind of just previewing this huge weekend for pro wrestling fans. If you're a pro wrestling fan, you're going to have to sort of pace yourself to get through this weekend coming up. Ring of Honor starting the weekend. New Japan has a couple of big shows. In fact, three big shows. WWE and NXT each with big shows as well. So, boy, it's going to be a busy weekend. It starts Friday night with ROH, Ring of Honor Summer Supercard. Not a lot on this card, but there is a world title match that's interesting. Matt Taven defending against Alex Shelley. A couple other matches of note. The whole card not really fleshed out quite yet. But, if you're a Ring of Honor fan, and Ring of Honor's had its struggles losing a lot of talent with AEW getting started here. Well, it's already started, but AEW formally getting underway with its TV show in less than 2 months. In fact, I've scored tickets to that. The launch TV show for AEW is October 2nd in Washington, D.C. And my friend Brian and I, who've been wrestling fans since we were kids, are going to go up together. Take that in. We got decent seats. I'd say pretty good seats. Second, lower level, I think fifth or sixth row. Not ringside, but lower level. So we'll be able to give a good sense after that's over with of AEW. They still have one more pay-per-view to go before they launch their TV show, and that pay-per-view is August 31st, coming up in a couple weeks. So, Ring of Honor, they've struggled with some. There's more competition for talent, and Ring of Honor has been around for a long time. They've had the backing of Sinclair Broadcast Group, but just not quite been able to get the traction. AEW is launching on TNT here on October 2nd. But some great wrestling there at ROH. And Matt Taven, Alex Shelley headlining that card. That's Friday night, I believe, a 7:30 bell time, and Ring of Honor app. There's links. I'll mention this a couple times through this podcast, but the story on Augusta Free Press, I've got links to the cards, how you can download apps, etc. On that story on the website. So, if you're not like me and already don't have all these apps, you can go ahead and follow that information there on our website. New Japan Pro Wrestling. This is what I'm really looking forward to. The New Japan Wrestling shows and the NXT shows, SummerSlam. We'll talk about. It'll be a long day. Be some good matches there, some duds probably as well. But New Japan, boy, they've got a couple shows even this week. I didn't highlight here in this post because I'm thinking weekend. But New Japan Pro Wrestling is into its final weekend plus a couple days of its G1 Climax tournament, G1 Climax 29. Each of the A and B blocks has two matches left for each competitor. In fact, Wednesday and Thursday, the A and B blocks will have their second to last matches. We'll get some jockeying for position to see who goes into then the Saturday and Sunday matches with a chance to take home the top spot in each block and then make their way to that Monday final. I've got all the information as far as links to the Saturday and Sunday shows highlighted by Saturday show. Now, and from a timing standpoint, you can watch it live 5 a.m. Saturday morning. That's 6 p.m. Saturday evening in Japan. But you can watch it live at 5 a.m. Saturday morning, or you can just watch it on the New Japan app, or actually Saturday show you can watch as well on Access TV. And that will air at 9 o'clock, obviously tape delayed. You just have to avoid the internet all day to find out what goes on. But that's an A-block. That's the A-block final action, and based on the booking, I think you can tell that Kazuchika Okada, Kota Ibushi, they're going to be facing off in the final match of the show. Also, Hiroshi Tanahashi will meet up with Will Ospreay. Ospreay's out. He's eliminated from contention for the A-block number one spot, but Tanahashi probably won't be. There's still one more match in the A-block this week to go, but Tanahashi likely will be in the running for that final spot. So I would imagine, those are two great matches on that card. I would imagine Tanahashi probably gets the win, and then when you see Okada facing Ibushi, there might be some intrigue there as to who will represent the A block coming out of that particular card. Again, that's 5 a.m. live on the New Japan app. You can watch it anytime during the day. You can stream it during the day, or you can just watch it at 9 p.m. Eastern. These times are all Eastern, at least the ones I'm referencing from that standpoint on Access TV. The Sunday 5 a.m. Eastern live, or you can watch it during the day, has the final night of action in the B block. And the final two matches there are Juice Robinson, John Moxley, Tomohiro Ishii versus Taichi. I would imagine Ishii, he's in the mix. I think Taichi might actually be on the cusp of being in the mix, depending on what happens during the week this week in B-Block action. But Ishii certainly will be in the mix for the top spot in the B-Block. John Moxley's led all along. He's lost his last couple of matches. We'll see what happens this week. I imagine he'll probably have to drop one more to make this much more interesting. But Juice Robinson is in the mix for that top spot. So the winner of the two blocks, again, they meet early Monday morning. I'm talking about early. I say 2 a.m. East Coast time Monday morning. So that's actually, you could time it. I wrote up in the piece, you could actually time it probably to stay up after SummerSlam and wait an hour or so and watch that too. If I had to bet, I'm going to bet that the winners of the Okada, Ibushi, Robinson, Moxley matches will be the people you'll see in that Monday final. The G1 Climax winner, this is what's interesting about this. This is like the ultimate Money in the Bank, except it's a month-long round-robin tournament kind of effect. But the winner gets a title shot at Wrestle Kingdom. Guaranteed title shot at Wrestle Kingdom in January. So this is a setup for something that's huge. This tournament is huge. There's so many great matches. Boy, I've seen, I would say, the best match of the year. And it's going to be hard for any match coming the rest of this year to top the Okada versus Sonata match from a recent G1 Climax in the A block. Sonata pulling the upset. And I'm not spoiling anything there, but because it doesn't matter. I'm telling you, it's worth, if you have the New Japan app, just maybe haven't watched the show yet, or if you're thinking about getting the New Japan app, it's $9.11 a month, so it's very much worth it. It's in line with the price that you pay for WWE Network. Boy, that match went. All matches in the G1 Climax are 30-minute time limit matches. They use the time limit sometimes to tease you a bit, and this one definitely did. It was a great finish. Great. The last 5 minutes of that match were among the most dramatic 5 minutes I've ever seen in a wrestling match. The last 10, 15 minutes, just so many near falls, near tap-outs from submission holds. Great match, back-and-forth match. Can't say enough about how good that was. So then going back to Saturday. So I talked about how Saturday morning, if you watch it live, good for you. I'm not going to be watching it live, but the New Japan show will start airing at 5 o'clock Eastern time. And you can watch it during the day. You can also watch it at night on Access. Now, NXT also has a show Saturday night, WWE's developmental arm, TakeOver Toronto. And I hate calling them developmental because the people I'm talking about here are not developmental talents. Maybe the Velveteen Dream would be the only one. Maybe Pete Dunne. But the headline match, NXT champ Adam Cole defends against Johnny Gargano in a 2-of-3 falls match. They had a 5-plus star match their last time out at the last TakeOver show. So Cole versus Gargano. The NXT Women's Champ, Shayna Baszler, defense against Mia Kim. That one should be good. Not great, but good. There's a three-way match for the North American title, Velveteen Dream is the champ. Love that young man. Think he's got a great future in this business. He'll be defending against Roderick Strong and Pete Dunne, two great workers in the ring. That match should be pushing 5-star quality. Just based on the booking there. That show starts at 7 o'clock on Saturday night. It's available on the WWE Network app. If you want to time it and you want to just watch Access at 9 o'clock, the good matches will probably be in that 10 o'clock hour. The way this TakeOver show is booked, it's probably going to be done by 9:30, 9:45. So you might be able to just kind of tease all your Saturday viewing in there if you want to do. What Access does, the way the G1 Climax is booked, going back to that just to explain to you how you can get around this, the way the G1 Climax is booked is there's the A block and the B block, and what happens when the A block is working its tournament side of things, the B block guys are all matched up in tag matches basically with the people that they're going to be working with the next night. So, from what I've noticed, the Access shows, they might show you one tag match. Based on the time of you know, how long the B block or the, you know, the block matches go, the tournament matches go. But they focus their time on those tournament matches. So you get the good stuff, basically, is what I'm trying to tell you there, in that 2 hour period of time. And so yeah, you might miss the first one or two matches of block action if you try to watch the Takeover show and then then go straight from there to Access. But you won't, you'll be in bliss from 7 o'clock to 11 o'clock. You'll be watching probably the best wrestling of the weekend: A Block action in the New Japan G1 Climax and then the NXT show. I expect the Gargano Cole match will be a 5-star-plus match. I like I mentioned, the North American title match, the 3-way, will probably be that way as well. The two matches on Saturdays, A Block with Okada, Ibushi, Tanahashi, Ospreay. Ooh, it's gonna be some fun wrestling that night to watch. So definitely recommend that you tune in. Now we'll turn to SummerSlam on Sunday. I've already mentioned the Sunday schedule for the G1. SummerSlam starts. The main show starts at 7. I hate this main show and pre-show stuff. If I'm sitting there watching, it's a show. There's no pre-show. I understand that the pre-show is available. You know, and AEW is doing pre-shows now too. The pre-show is there, so it's free and you can watch it. It might tempt you to, want to buy the network app or whatever. So technically it is, but if you're already committed, and I probably should be committed, but if you're already committed, then you're watching a show. Tons of matches on the card. I'm not going to list them all, certainly. I understand there's 15 matches, and that's probably in counting. I'm recording this podcast on Tuesday. I think the last, it's a Wednesday night meeting that will kind of set things for the weekend for WWE as far as SummerSlam goes. The two main matches for the main titles, the Universal title, Brock Lesnar defends against Seth Rollins, WWE champ Kofi Kingston defends against Randy Orton. That one should be interesting because this is the last significant show. There is still one more, they still call them pay-per-views. One more live WWE Network event, I call them now, between now and when SmackDown moves from USA to Fox in October. But this is SummerSlam. SummerSlam is the mid-year WrestleMania. I don't know that WWE is going to want to go into Fox in October with Kofi Kingston as champion. I think that they're going to go with Randy Orton as champion. And if that's going to be the case, Orton's going to probably win the belt Sunday night. So you'll want to be tuning in for that. Lesnar will finish the show out. I'd imagine the Lesnar-Rollins match will finish the show out. I don't know that Rollins is going to take the belt off of Lesnar. There's other matches. Bray Wyatt makes his return against Finn Balor. What else? There's some tag matches. There's a bunch of stuff going on. We'll have some folks over. We'll kind of watch with one eye for a while, then we'll turn both eyes on. I think Bill Goldberg and Dolph Ziggler in a match that doesn't make any sense, but we'll have our eyes on it, and then we'll be ready for the title matches, certainly, later in the show, later in the night. So that should be a good weekend, to say the least. If you're a wrestling fan, you're going to be worn out by the time that all happens. So shifting gears from talking about specific events, I had a thought, and I was thinking about this. I wrote this column originally a few weeks ago. I'd read something about Harley Race, who's now, since deceased, passed away, I believe, just in the last week. And Harley Race was the 8-time former NWA World Champion, and part of his story was he was reputed as quite the tough guy. You wouldn't look at him and say, wow, he looks like a tough guy. Now there's so much emphasis on so many of the wrestlers look like bodybuilders or fitness competition competitors. They look the part, but they don't always actually fit the part. And that's what made me think about Harley Race. Made me think about how, the reputations of wrestlers used to matter more than what they looked like. I also thought about CM Punk in this context. we talked just briefly a few seconds ago about Brock Lesnar, and he's going to be defending his Universal Championship against Seth Rollins. You know, Brock Lesnar's got legit qualifications. We all know he was the former UFC heavyweight champion. He was an NCAA heavyweight amateur wrestling champion. We all know about Kurt Angle, you know, won a gold medal in the 1996 Olympics in wrestling. They're legit guys. They're legit shooters. Ronda Rousey, of course, and her background in both the Olympics and in combat sports and then in UFC. CM Punk tried to make the jump over, and CM Punk had no background. He wasn't a high school wrestler. He wasn't a college wrestler. Wasn't a college football player, NFL football player. He was just a guy that succeeded at the top level of pro wrestling. But he decided as he was wrapping up his pro wrestling career, hey, I want to take a shot at MMA. I want to go to UFC. And, of course, with his name recognition, Dana White said, sure, we'll throw a lot of money at you. You'll help sell some pay-per-views, and that'll be great. And then he bombed. He had the best training in the world and all the time in the world to get himself ready, and he's 0-2 and didn't look good in either of those two fights. He still technically works for UFC. He's still under contract. Hopefully we don't see him in an octagon again. For his sake and for our sake, our eyes don't need to see that again. So CM Punk made me think as well. Let's look at the credentials. Because I do this. When I'm watching a show, especially this weekend, and maybe this – and there's a story on our website, and I'll point that out to you right now. In fact, if you go on Tuesday here, as we're talking on this podcast, if you're listening the day we sent the podcast out, it's actually among our most read stories. Maybe I can jimmy the numbers a little bit. Not jimmy the numbers. Jimmy the time frame. Because the story was just reposted with some more information a couple days ago. I'd like to leave it up there a little longer because it's getting a lot of clicks. So maybe I can add a couple of days to the trending just so it'll stay up there, just so you can click on it. You're listening to this podcast. Because what I did was I looked at a lot of backgrounds. I spent a lot more time than I probably should have, honestly. But I was trying to create something that could kind of stand the test of time, looking at some of the big names in WWE, both on the SmackDown and Raw rosters, NXT roster, men and women. The New Japan roster, the ROH roster, the TNA Impact roster, MLW roster. And I'm not claiming that this is the most authoritative place to go, but I looked at a lot of wrestlers' credentials, and I looked at as many of the, both the mainstream and indie guys as I could, and gals as I could. And I hope this is helpful, because when I'm watching the show, I'm looking up. I wonder who that guy is. Where did he come from? Or where did she come from? What credentials do they have? I want to know. I mean, are they tough guys or are they just looking the part? And it's important to me. It might be important to you to know. So this is some of these are easy. Kurt Angle won the gold at the Summer Olympics in 96 with a broken friggin' neck, as he likes to say. And he did. That was legit. And it wasn't just in the actual Olympics, but even the trials. I think it was a semifinal round of the trials. He suffered a broken vertebra in his neck. He wrestled the semifinal and final matches to qualify for the Olympics. He went all the way through the Olympics and won the gold medal with a broken neck. We all know that. He was a two-time NCAA champ as well, three-time All-American in college wrestling. So, legit. Brock Lesnar, he was the 2000 NCAA wrestling heavyweight champion at the University of Minnesota. He was a two-time All-American. He was also the UFC heavyweight champion. He won that belt in 2008. Legit. Those two guys reputedly had... there was a shoot match. I've listened to the podcast, though. There was a Jim Ross podcast about this a couple years ago. I'm not sure if those archives are still up, but I'm not sure if I remember it correctly. It was Ross was either there or he knew something about it directly. Basically, those two guys, early in each of their pro careers, at a house show, just decided, let's just see what happens. Let's just see what happens. Kurt Angle, Brock Lesnar. We're going to entertain you and entertain each other, and then entertain you, I guess. That would have been quite interesting to see. Ronda Rousey, bronze in judo in the 2008 Summer Olympics. She became the first female UFC champion in 2012. She's already in the UFC Hall of Fame. We know about Ronda. I kind of put this in some sort of order, we'll see if the order makes sense to you. This all made sense to me. My next toughest person, I decided, Ron Simmons. Ron Simmons didn't wrestle as far as I could find. Maybe he wrestled in high school. I didn't find anything about that. No championship pedigree as far as that goes for Simmons. But he's inducted in the College Football Hall of Fame in 2008. He was an All-American nose tackle at Florida State. He's really, a lot of folks, especially Florida State folks, look at long-time Florida State fans, football fans, will say that Ron Simmons was the big recruit that really led the Bobby Bowden era to become, you know, the Bobby Bowden era. I mean, he was the guy at nose tackle. He finished ninth in the Heisman Trophy voting in 1979. He's one of those foundational elements of that Florida State program from the 1970s. He played two seasons in the NFL and then three more in the USFL before going into wrestling. So Ron Simmons I put there. Bobby Lashley was a three-time NAIA college wrestling national champion at 177. And he was 15-2 as an MMA fighter, pro MMA fighter. NAIA is it's a level below the NCAA, obviously. But it's you know, competition wrestling. A lot of folks who you know, maybe don't have the academic credentials to maybe wrestle Division I will go to an NAIA school. Doesn't mean that they're not good wrestlers. And he was a three-time national champ. Chad Gable, real name Charles Betts, and I put this in here too. A lot of these folks have different real names, and I wanted to make it easy. If you want to check me, you can check me. But Gable, real name Charles Betts, represented the U.S. in wrestling at the 2012 Summer Olympics. So I got to say, credentials. It was hard to find a lot of else about Betts, though. But I do, you know, he did represent the U.S. in 2012 in the Summer Games. Shayna Baszler, I put next on the list. NXT Women's Champ, 15-11 record in MMA, including a 1-3 record in UFC. What's interesting is Jess Mendoog, part of the stable in NXT with Baszler, 9-5-1 as an MMA fighter, including 2-4 in UFC. Matt Riddle, the bro, 8-3-2 as professional MMA fighter, including a 5-year stint in UFC. He was on the Ultimate Fighter show. He's not the only one on this list. In fact, Filthy Tom Lawler, the recently former MLW champ, 10-7-1 as an MMA fighter, including 6-5 in UFC. Next, I'll go down Kushida. Newcomer to NXT, but a veteran guy. IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champ. Real name is Yujiro Kushida, so that's a real name. Well, I'm sure that WWE will try to figure a way to change it just so they can brand him their way. But he was 6-0-2 as a professional MMA fighter. This one surprised me. Shinsuke Nakamura, 3-1-1 as an MMA fighter professionally. I wouldn't have looked at him and guessed that, but 3-1-1 as a professional MMA fighter. Shelton Benjamin, now going down the list here. 2-time All-American at the University of Minnesota in wrestling, and then after graduating, he was an assistant coach for a couple of years for the Minnesota program. One of the wrestlers was Brock Lesnar, so interesting tie there between those two guys. Jeff Cobb, ROH, now a star now in New Japan. He's one of the guys competing in the G1 Climax. Thick young man, if you want to say. Representing Guam in wrestling in the 2004 Summer Olympics. Akam and Razor. I should just mention them both at the same time. The two guys in AOP, Authors of Pain, former NXT tag champs, kind of been buried on the main roster in WWE. Akam, his real name is Sonny Densa. He was a three-time national champ freestyle wrestler in Canada. And Razor, real name is Gazim Samani, 6-2 record as a professional MMA fighter, and also a former World Pro Kickboxing heavyweight champion. When I think of Razor, the last thing I think is I want him to kickbox me. I don't want to think of that guy being a kickboxer. So those two guys, legit guys, legit. That tag team, I don't see why they don't get a bigger push. They're big. I mean, Vince McMahon loves big guys. He loves tough guys. They're just not getting the push. The injury issues that they've had may be part of that. Tainara Conti, NXT performer, real name Tainara Melo de Carvalho. I guess I'm pronouncing the hell out of that. I'm sure. She was in the Olympic trials in Brazil for jiu-jitsu in 2016. Didn't make it out, obviously, because then we would have said she was in the Olympics representing Brazil. But an accomplished jiu-jitsu amateur who fell just short of Olympic competition. So she's a newcomer in NXT. Dolph Ziggler, here's one you wouldn't have guessed. I don't think. You look at Dolph Ziggler, he's a show-off. He's a pretty boy, got pretty hair, you know, got a great look. He's a legit tough guy. Real name is Nick Nemeth. He was a three-time champion in the Mid-American Conference in wrestling at Kent State. So three-time conference champion in wrestling. I mean, I don't think you'd look at Dolph Ziggler and think that. I think you'd look at him and say, oh, yeah, that guy went to a training center somewhere, and that's where he got started. No, he's a tough guy. Another one I don't think you'd think it has any background at all. Otis from Heavy Machinery. You look at that guy. He kind of makes you smile just when you see him. He's as round as he is tall. His real name is Nikola Bojagovic, and he was a national champion in Greco-Roman wrestling at the Junior Pan Am Games 2011, and a Greco-Roman bronze medalist at the 2014 Games. Wow, Otis. You know, there's something behind all that. Tucker Knight, the other half of Heavy Machinery, also a tough guy. Levi Cooper, 2011 All-American wrestler in Arizona State. I don't think you look at either of those guys and say, you look at those guys and say they need to lose some weight. Tough guys. Bray Wyatt, another one I don't think you would think when you look at him. You think a sports entertainer, right? Real name is Wyndham Rotunda. He comes from that lineage, the Wyndhams and the Rotundas. Barry Wyndham, Mike Rotunda, that group. State high school wrestling champion of Florida, played 2 years at Troy State in the offensive line. So he's got the offensive lineman. I always think, if I'm recruiting in football, I'm thinking if my linemen better be wrestlers. I don't care if they're state champion wrestlers, but they better be accomplished in wrestling, because that's all you're really doing out there when you're on offense or defensive line. You're trying to out wrestle the other guy and then get to the quarterback, tackle the running back, or keep the other guys from doing the same. So Bray Wyatt, interesting background there. Sin Cara, this is another one. Again, I would not have guessed. Sin Cara is wrestles a more lucha libre type style. WWE star's real name is Jorge Arias, high school state champion in Texas. Legit credentials. Cody Rhodes, you may have heard this, but he, the WWE star, again, another guy you would not think. You don't look at Cody Rhodes and say, yeah, amateur wrestling background. Two-time state champion in Georgia. Actually had a scholarship offer to Penn State, decided to go pro. Could have put it off for a couple more years, I suppose, and gone to Penn State. But, AEW star has got some legit credentials. Another one I would not have thought. Again, I'm sharing this because I'm sharing my personal thoughts on this. Kofi Kingston. I don't look at Kofi and say, yeah, amateur wrestling credentials. Kofi, state finalist as a high school senior in Massachusetts in 1999. He didn't wrestle in college. He went to Boston College, got a degree, smart guy. But, high school state finalist in 1999. Mark Henry, different level of tough guy. Two-time Olympian in weightlifting. Still holds. Still. It's 2019. He was in the Olympics in 92 and 96. He still holds three world powerlifting records. Yeah, that's a strong man right there. He's truly still, he has claim now in his late 40s to still being the world's strongest man. He still holds his record. Moose from Impact. His real name is Quinn, I'm not going to pronounce this right, Ojanaka. Quinn Ojanaka. Played college football at Syracuse, played 4 seasons with the NFL's Atlanta Falcons. Had a couple of training camps after that. He had dealt with some injuries in the NFL. But Moose, and he played in the offensive line. He was a pretty accomplished lineman. So, again, a guy with a tough guy background. Mojo Rawley. You might know this, you might not. For people, we have a Virginia base with our website and podcast. Mojo, his real name is Dean Mutati. He played 1 year of college football at Division III Christopher Newport. Then he transferred to Maryland. From Christopher Newport, he went from D3 to D1, ACC D1, and was a standout at a defensive tackle at Maryland. A couple of training camps with Green Bay and Arizona. Never made it in the NFL, but he got to the level of at least getting a training camp with a couple of teams. So did Baron Corbin. Real name is Thomas Pestock. Spent a couple of years, the same 2 years, in fact, 2009, 2010. Indianapolis 2009 and 2010, Baron Corbin and Mojo Rawley were both in the Arizona Cardinals camp. In fact, Corbin ended up making the practice squad, so he got a little further than the camp. He got on the practice squad in 2010 before kind of flaming out there. Titus O'Neil, real name Thaddeus Bullard, 4-year letter winner in football at Florida, and then played in the Arena Football League for 4 seasons, 2003 to 2007. So, Titus O'Neil, some legit credentials there. Roman Reigns, you might not know this, you might know this. If you listen to my podcast, you kind of know it. Joe Anoa. First team All-ACC defensive tackle with Georgia Tech in 2006. He actually tried. He was in training camp in 2006. Didn't make it. We now know that that actually had to do, at least in part, due to his first bout of leukemia. He had another bout of it last fall. He overcame a few months of treatment, therapy, rehab, and he's back in wrestling now. But, at least in part, I'm not sure if it's fair to say entirely his football career was cut short by the leukemia, but definitely that, because I think there may have even been an attempt, if I'm remembering, I didn't write this down, but there was an attempt on his part after coming back from the leukemia the first time to try to make it back in the NFL, but just didn't make it. The Rock. You probably know this. Dwayne Johnson was a member of the 1991 Miami Hurricanes National Championship football team. His football career was cut short in part because Warren Sapp arrived, and Warren Sapp was better than him. He was a defensive tackle, and Sapp was a better defensive tackle, to the point of being a Hall of Fame defensive tackle. The Rock then, Dwayne Johnson then, went on to spend part of the 1995 season on the practice squad of the CFL's Calgary Stampeders before flaming out of the CFL and then turning to wrestling in 96, I believe it was. So it was a quick turnaround for him. Riddick Moss, NXT performer, his real name is Michael Rallis, played football at the University of Minnesota, a four-year letter winner there, and then attended training camp with NFL's Miami Dolphins. John Cena, you might not know this one. He was a D3 All-American offensive lineman. He was a starting center for Springfield College. D3 level, but, in fact, the number 54 you see associated with a lot of John Cena memorabilia, he wore number 54 at Springfield. So Cena got some tough back credentials. I love the offensive line. They're tough. Big E. Ettore Iwin is his name. So there's a lot of E as far as that goes. High school state wrestling champion in Florida. Defensive lineman at Iowa in the Big Ten. And he's also a former American record-holding powerlifter. So he's got a few credentials there. Wrestling, football, and powerlifting. He's a triple threat. Stone Cold Steve Austin played college football at North Texas. Jimmy and Jey Uso. Their real names are Jonathan and Joshua Fatu, played college football at the University of West Alabama. One of them played 1 year, the other played 3 years. They were linebackers. Dalton Castle, real name is Brett Giel, wrestled in college at SUNY Cortland. Ric Flair, 1 year college football, freshman team at the University of Minnesota. He didn't play varsity, and I'm not sure if he finished at Minnesota. His background is interesting. He was adopted as a young child. His father was a doctor. And then Ric Flair becomes, and he was a lineman. And if you've seen early pictures of Ric Flair, he was a beefy young man. Big, he might have been 270, 280 pounds and back in the 60s. A big, big guy. And then he becomes an age rule when he turns pro in wrestling. Keith Lee, he was a red shirt for 1 year at Texas A&M, a defensive lineman, I believe it was. But Keith Lee, the NXT star, now former longtime indie darling, now in NXT, and he looks like a lineman, but 1 year as a redshirt at Texas A&M back in the mid 2000s. Braun Strowman, real name Adam Scher, was the 2012 Arnold Classic Amateur Strongman winner. Here's a good one. Mandy Rose also has an Arnold Classic kind of background. Her real name is Amanda Sacramento. I wonder if she knows Bob Sacramento from Seinfeld. Took first place at the 2013 World Bodybuilding and Fitness and Fashion Boston Show. And, no, in fact, she wasn't the Arnold Classic. It was someone else on the Arnold Classic. It's actually Alexa Bliss. I'll go into that in a second. But Mandy Rose won a couple of major bodybuilding fitness competitions. You can kind of see that. She's well-constructed. Casey Catanzaro, a relative newcomer in the women's division of NXT. She was a college gymnast at Towson University, and she was the first woman to qualify for the finals on the American Ninja Warrior competition TV show. Now with wrestling having more influence of the Lucha Libre style from Mexico, which I love all this. I'm one who loves the strongman style. I love that Lucha style, the strong style of Japan, the Lucha style of Mexico, blend it together, throw some American in, and you'd have your perfect wrestling. But the gymnasts, they're definitely in high demand as far as that Lucha style goes. So we'll see how Catanzaro kind of develops in NXT. Alexa Bliss, real name Alexis Kaufman. She was a cheerleader at the University of Akron and a fitness competitor in the Arnold Classic. And don't sneeze on those cheerleaders or scoff at those cheerleaders. Sneeze at. Yeah, don't sneeze. Don't scoff at the cheerleaders. There's a lot of gymnastics. There's a lot of fitness kind of stuff involved in that. Being a scholarship cheerleader, that's a big deal. Carmella, her real name is Leah Van Dale. She's the daughter of Paul Van Dale, former WWE jobber, but also professional MMA fighter, early professional MMA fighter. So I thought it was worth mentioning. Her dad was an MMA guy. And Carmella then she was a cheerleader for the New England Patriots, and she was a Laker girl for a year. Has nothing to do with being tough, but, you know, still worth mentioning. So that's, you know, this is... This is the result of several hours of research on my part. I'm not saying this is exhaustive, extensive. I'm sure I've left quite a few people out of this. For example, AJ Styles comes to mind. I've seen references, quite a few references, including some in newspaper articles, about him being a accomplished high school wrestler and then getting offered a scholarship. There was an Anderson College, I believe it was, in South Carolina that he was purportedly offered a scholarship to. I have not been able to confirm that. I'm a journalist at heart, so, you know, I'm not going to put stuff down that other people, you know, kind of like the game of telephone being played. I'm not going to do that if I can't confirm it in some way that makes me feel like it's authoritative. But AJ Styles, so that's why he's not on the list. I didn't forget AJ Styles. He's one of the top stars in the business, just couldn't find anything about him. And if you're not on this list otherwise, there's quite a few people that, you know, the CM Punks who trained, went straight into training in wrestling school. And I'm not, in part, I'm not turning my nose down at that. In part, I am. Training, going to wrestling school, I mean, it's hard. I've never trained myself at a wrestling school, but I've done stories about wrestling schools and been at wrestling schools to watch the action, watch how they're taught. A session led by Kevin Nash when I worked with the Awesome Wrestling Entertainment Group a few years ago. I mean, it's not easy. They put you through a gauntlet. Running the ropes, you get bruises. You know, the bumps are not easy. I guess a reason I would say a person who's trained only in wrestling and didn't have those other credentials, whether it be, you know, combat sports, MMA, boxing, amateur wrestling, football, those things where you... You have to, you know, physically outwill someone else in a competition setting. In wrestling, it's all cooperation. I think that's why we see CM Punk. Why he failed in MMA. It's not the skills that you learn in a wrestling school are not transferable to real combat sports. You know, and it's not to say that it's automatic if you're a great success in combat sports that you're going to be a success in pro wrestling. There are a lot of factors there that have to come to play. Can you be entertaining? Can you learn to work with the other people? Can you tone it down? Part of that is you can't go out and physically maul the other person like you do in a football game or a wrestling mat, you know, to the degree you can within the rules of those sports. You've got to work closely with that other person and protect them, and they protect you, and you got to learn how to fall, and you got to do some things. You've also got to market yourself. So again, it's not a guarantee that if you have Brock Lesnar or Ronda Rousey's credentials, you're going to be a star. For every Brock Lesnar and Ronda Rousey, I mean, there's a new NCAA heavyweight champion crowned every year at the Division I, II, III level, the NAIA level. There are Olympic champions every 4 years. I mean, so it's not like all those people automatically then become stars. We'd have heard of all of them. Not all of them want to become pro wrestlers. You know, it's a different business. It's a grind. You know, a lot of travel, a lot of, you know, bashing your head in, figuratively and somewhat literally too, as you work your way up the ladder to you know, become successful in that business. But there is a premium on the people who have that combat background. So again, look at those columns. They are on the Augusta Free Press website. Go to our sports section, and you'll be able to find those links and learn more about the combat backgrounds of pro wrestling stars. And then again, what we talked about first part of this podcast, the schedule for this weekend. Busy, busy, busy weekend in pro wrestling. Should be if you're a wrestling fan, one, you're almost 40 minutes into a podcast that's wrapping up. But you've listened this far. You are a wrestling fan. This weekend should be fun for you. Signing off, I am Chris Graham, and I will talk to you again soon.